We're going to bring in U.S. Senator, I believe, Marco Rubio's back on Good Morning New Hampshire. GMI Studios across our network of News Talk stations. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning.
Thanks for being back with us here in New Hampshire. And a lot to talk about. I was just talking, Senator, and it's been a busy week or so, but let me start in this, the book, Woodward's book about General Milley and if he allegedly spoke to his Chinese counterparts while President Trump was still president. In other words, going behind his back in the final days, worried about what the president may or may not do. That seems to get the intrigue of a lot of the national news media, more so than the Taliban telling the current president how to leave Afghanistan and when to do it, with 13 service members killed by terrorists and Americans left behind. But anyway, as a U.S. senator and someone who's outspoken on a lot of these subjects, do you think there should be a probe on this General Milley story or not?
There should be, and I'll tell you why. The issue is not that he talked to a Chinese general. There's nothing unusual about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs or high-ranking military officials talking to their counterparts in other countries. But if that's what happened here, this wouldn't be in the book. I mean, this book is not written to account for normal, everyday occurrences. It was written differently. The whole theme, the narrative, right, surrounding the story is, the narrative of the book is Donald Trump was unstable, and heroes like General Milley, as early as October, were actually having to back-channel to military leaders around the world, telling them, don't worry, we're not going to sneak attack you. I would call you and warn you before anything happened on our part, et cetera. That's the context of this. Not that it was a normal call. If it was a normal call, it wouldn't be in the book. The book's not about normal things. It's designed to be about scandal and how terrible things were. And if that is true, if that's how this played out, if some general, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, decided, I don't agree with what the president's doing, I'm going to go ahead and substitute his wisdom and his decision-making for my own, that's a very significant breach of our Constitution, of his oath of office, and frankly, I think it borders on treason to call a foreign military leader and say to them, I'll let you know, I'll give you a heads up before we take any military action. And it's also dangerous.
Right.
Put yourself in the position of that Chinese military leader who's now, their takeaway from that call is, there's a fracture in the chain of command in the United States. This might be a really good opportunity for us to create some pretext for invading Taiwan. I mean, that's the danger it puts us in.
Yep, I think well said. Senator Marco Rubio, Good Morning, New Hampshire Live. The Secretary of State spent several days being questioned, talking about the Biden administration's evacuation of Afghanistan. Are you satisfied with the Secretary's sort of defending the Biden administration's evacuation of Afghanistan?
No, here's what I think has happened now after hearing it all. I think Joe Biden actually was in control of the situation. I think Joe Biden decided, or his political people decided, we want to have a big press conference on September 11th, and we want to mark the 20th anniversary of 9/11 by bragging about how we ended the war. The timing on the ground did not coincide with that artificial timeline, and they had to then do whatever it took. The timeline was more important than the Americans that were left behind. And that's how I think this played out. And for them to say that there was no indication that this could rapidly deteriorate the way it did is just not accurate. They can't say that to me, because I see the same intelligence they do as the chairman, as the vice chairman now, and at the time chairman of the Intelligence Committee, and anyone who read that reporting and the arc of that reporting understood that there was a very real possibility, and into July, the very real probability that Kabul and the government would collapse with little to no warning. And they should have known that. And so anyone who's out there telling you now that there was no way to know it is either A, lying, or B, should not be in that position because they don't know how to analyze things from that perspective. So I'm not satisfied with it, and I think the consequences are now horrific. There are American citizens today trapped, held captive in some ways in Afghanistan, and there are American green card holders, permanent legal residents of the United States and their families, who are also trapped. And not to mention, you know, the damage this has done to our alliances. Remember when they used to always talk about how important our allies were and how Trump was offending them? This is far more offensive, because you basically decided to leave. They had people on the ground too. You didn't tell them. They had no role to play, no choice in the matter, no voice in it. And a lot of these people got to be sitting around looking at themselves saying, my God, I mean, these guys really can't be counted on anymore. We're gonna have to go our own way here. And so the damage this has done, and I think for China and Russia, they look at us and say, this is more proof that America is a declining power.
Senator Rubio, we had, of course, Senators Shaheen and Hassan on the show talking about the infrastructure bill that passed the Senate. What is going to happen politically with this $3.5 trillion budget blueprint and the new taxes that would be associated with it. Is Nancy Pelosi going to get her way and pass the whole thing, or do you think your colleague from the West Virginia Senate, moderate Democrats will stand in the way of this thing, or should New Hampshire small business owners be braced for huge tax increases, or is Senator Manchin and others going to sort of slow this down?
Well, I think this is largely an inner Democrat drama playing out in both the House and Senate, as there are a number of members of the party in both the House and Senate that have expressed real concerns both about the spending amounts and also about the taxes that would have to be imposed in order to pay for it. But in the end, let's recognize that even though obviously, you know, it's good what Joe Manchin's doing, Joe Manchin's position is he wants $1 trillion of expansion of the federal government, not $3.5 trillion. I imagine $1 trillion is better than $3.5 trillion, but it's still $1 trillion. This is a massive expansion of the federal government, even at $1 trillion, at the same time built on top of a massive expansion of spending earlier this year, on top of all the spending we already had to do, over $1 trillion, to deal with a pandemic, because you know nobody had a reserve fund for the pandemic. I mean, the whole world has had to debt spend in order to finance some of the costs associated with that. So either way you look at it, I think we're headed for a big expansion spending if things play out the way they look like, and that's going to be paid for somehow. And you can't pay for it by taxing millionaires alone. You're going to have to raise taxes, and you're going to have to generate revenue from other sectors of the country, including people who are already facing a tax increase in the form of inflation.
Right.
And inflation is coming. We see it. If you look at the cost of production and supplies, that are coming out of places like Vietnam and China and other places where a lot of our retail products are being sourced from, that eventually, by the time we get to Christmas, those increases in costs are going to be reflected in prices by the end of this year, potentially. Remember, what we're paying for now is based on the inventory that was accumulated from 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
The production today is significantly more expensive. That means those products, when they reach our shelves in December and November and January, are going to be more expensive too. So on top of the tax increases, inflation is coming as well to chip away even further.
Senator, before we let you go, thank you for your time. Senator Marco Rubio live. Good morning, New Hampshire, GMI studio. Senator, a lot of times when our poll question the last few days is when President Biden ran, he talked about ending the divisiveness of America and adult leadership, you know, not being as divisive. It seems to me we're more divisive than ever. And in the United States Senate, do you speak with Democrat senators? Do you have a good relationship, for example, with Senator Shaheen and Senator Hassan from New Hampshire? Do you view them to be moderate and open-minded? Or is it all, you know, Senator Schumer says this, that's the way they go?
No, it's a great question. Here's the truth. In the Senate, number one, you have to work with people in the other party because of our rules, you can't pass anything without it. I mean, the most coveted thing in the Senate is a bipartisan sponsor, a sponsor from the other party for something you're trying to get done. And number two, I think I owe it to the people of Florida to vote to work with anyone who I can get to work with me on something that's of a priority, even if I disagree with those people on a bunch of other stuff. So, look, I don't know of anyone who I disagree with more than Bernie Sanders, but I've worked with him on VA veterans issues in the past. Because in the end, that's our job to get those things done. I think because it's the Senate, it's also 100 people, so everybody knows each other. You got to deal with them every day. Senator Shaheen is someone I have worked with. I've worked with her, for example, when we created the Paycheck Protection Program. She was a key partner in doing that, and a very good one. And I have to be frank about that. I mean, she was, you know, good to work with on it, and she was very productive on those issues and very helpful in getting that done. So, people do talk to each other. Now, I don't have a problem with anybody in the Senate. There are some people that don't get along, including in your own party, right? But generally, you don't really have – two things happen in the Senate. Number one is people have to know each other as human beings, like because it's not like the House of 435 people. You don't know most of the other people. And number two is, by necessity, you have to be able to deal with people in the other party because you can't get things passed without them. So, and any other senator can really gum up the works for you. So, that doesn't get reported a lot, obviously, because it's not – you know, no one wants to read stories about how people work together on stuff. We'll get coverage of the stuff that's conflicted. But
right.
But it does occur. But look, there are sharp differences. There's no doubt about it. And those do play out. And I think it's possible to strongly disagree with someone on 9 things and work with them on the one thing you do agree on. And it doesn't happen as often as it should, but it does happen.
Senator Rubio, we're going to let you go on this. You, you know, a presidential candidate before, you made a lot of inroads in New Hampshire. I think many people gave your campaign and candidacy some pretty high marks in a very crowded field like the Democrats just had this last time around. Are you considering a run again for president in 2024?
Well, I'm running for re-election in Florida. I want to continue to serve in the Senate. Obviously, look, I've run for president before, so for me to say that the presidency doesn't interest me at all is silly. I've already run for it. What I can't tell you is what the world's going to look like in 4 years and 8 years, what my life is going to look like. I think if anything I've learned in the last few years is expect the unexpected. And, you know, a lot of times running for president means not just that that your personal and political life allows for it, but that the timing is right, that there's an appetite for what you're offering or who you are. So, you know, that's an option that may or may never come. I don't know. I do know that I'll have a chance to be reelected and continue to serve in the Senate. I've gotten a lot done over the last 6 years, and there's some things I still want to get done. So that's what I'm focused on. And then we'll cross other bridges down the road when I get to that point and to that juncture. Because, frankly, I'm not trying to be coy. I just don't know what my life, the world, or our country is going to look like or going to want in 4, 6, 12 years. You know?
Appreciate it. Senator, thanks for the generous time. Make it a great Thursday. Senator Marco Rubio, good morning, New Hampshire. Get you back again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.